But get at it. So we spent one day so far on just going through the Gemaras about Pas Akum, and then yesterday we started to get into a little bit about Pas Palter and when Pas Palter is allowed, when it's not allowed, and how that really depends on how you understand the original Gezerah. But how we Magdir, what exactly is Pas Palter and what exactly is Pas Balabayis? So the Ramah is very clear about this. The Ramah spells it out for us. The Ramah writes that V'lo Mikri, at the end of Sif Beis, V'lo Mikri Pas Palabayis, Elo Imasao Libnei Beiso, Avalaso Limkor Mikri Palter, Aval Bishain Darko Bekach, V'chein Palter, Shaso Latzor Mikri Pas Mikri Balabayis. Meaning, let's say I have a neighbor who happens to be a professional baker, so whatever he makes is delicious, it's like it's from a bakery, but he happened to have made something at home, and he brought over some cupcakes, or whatever, cupcakes would be a good example, bread is the only example, because otherwise you have kasher concerns. So he brought over some bread, that he made in his own home. So that, says the Ramah, is not pas palter. Just because the person happens to be a palter, it doesn't mean that the bread is pas palter. That's pas palabais. Or let's say I have a neighbor who's a lousy baker, but he decided that he's going to open up a bakery. Why? Because no one gave him good advice. He decided that he's going to open up a bakery, and it's the worst bakery in town. It doesn't look professional at all. The loaves are all misshapen, and they taste weird. And the whole thing is a mess. But he's baking it to sell it. That's pas palter. If the way I access that bread is by paying for it, and he's baking it to sell it, that's the definition of pas palter. So that's how the Ramah writes. Meaning, a balabais, your non-Jewish neighbor, is having a bread sale in his front yard. That's a palter. If he's selling the bread, even if he's selling it out of his house, if you're paying for his bread, the idea is that it's not going to lead to the same sense of korva and chashash chasnus, because he's not doing you a favor. A commercial baker who's baking bread, even if he's doing it in his home for himself, that bread is, when he's doing it in his home for himself, is considered pas palabayis, because that will lead to a sense of korva, since he's not charging you for it. Money makes all the difference in the relationship. You have a lot like this, right? You have a lot of people that bake out of their own homes and start businesses in baking. It's a major issue in hashkachas, because most of these places do not have hashkacha. So people say, yeah, but I trust them, so why can't I, of course I should be able to buy from them. So I know, in certain communities, the Rabbanim are very upset about it, because there are places that actually do get hashgacha, and that costs money, because you need to have a separate kitchen, and the mashgiach needs to be able to come in whenever to check on it. So someone's going to bypass all of those costs and run a business, even if you do trust them. It's not fair to those who are willing to get hashgacha. But more fundamentally, when a person is selling out of their own home, there's money involved. When there's money involved, it's an entirely different story of ne'emanus than when there's no money involved. Just like it's an entirely different story as far as korva, as far as a sense of a chashash chasnus, it's an entirely different sense of ne'emanus. A person can't have a ne'emanus when there's money involved, when they're charging money and it's their business. Halachically, everyone has ne'emanos, but that, as far as the way we run kashrus nowadays, the way we observe kashrus nowadays, it would seem that once you introduce money into the picture, regardless of where they're making it, whether it's a ma and pa shop out of their kitchen or it's somewhere else, so that's a totally different story. Now, the Shach in Sif Katan Zayin, as I mentioned yesterday, drops an absolute bombshell over here. The Shach writes that daf pas ovid kochavim, aval pas Yisrael sha'afo ovid kochavim, kosvatur shelo nagu b'shemakom lahatir sharehu kibishule ovid kochavim. Unbelievable. He says that it's only pas ovid kochavim that we have a heter of pas palter. But if you have pas Yisrael, pas that belongs to Yisrael, that an ovid kochavim is the one that that baked, that's a violation of bishul akum. And that would be asur, even though it's being sold. That would mean, because remember, there's no heter of palter for bishul akum. So if the pas is owned by a Jew and a guy is baking it, that is much worse than if it's owned by a guy and a guy is baking it. So a Jewish-owned bakery needs to have Jews doing the baking. That would mean that it's better to buy from a non-Jewish bakery baked by a guy than from a Jewish-owned bakery baked by a guy. So you can either buy your kid's birthday cake from Costco, where they have non-Jewish bakers baking, or you could buy it from Shloimi's or Maishi's or whatever, or Reisman's or whatever, where they have non-Jewish people baking, and the better thing to do would be to buy from Costco, because you have the heter of paspalter in that case, where you don't have the heter of paspalter if it's a Jew who has non-Jews working for them. This is why, by the way, the Satmar Hechsher in Brooklyn is very popular by bakeries, because bakeries have to do all their work overnight. So good luck. Try to find a frum person who wants to send his kids to yeshiva, who's willing for $10 an hour to wake up at 3 a.m. and do all the baking. You know, it doesn't, they don't, you know, that you can't even major in that. You know, they don't, it's not something they're going to find too many YU guys that are interested in doing, or anybody for that matter. And most hechsherim require that a Jew has to be there. The Hisachtos, which is Satmer, has a certain kula that you could rely. Really, the kula is about Hafrashas Chala. They have a kula that you could rely that a guy will be mafresh some of the chala off of each of the dough. And the guy can't be mafresh chala, but what they have a kula, I think, based on Rabbi Cheskel Roth, Zichron Levracha, just passed away, one of the major poskim for the Satmer community, that the guy can cut off a portion of the dough and bake the rest of it, and then when the Jew comes in the morning, he could be mafresh challah from the portion that the guy cut off. That they're not makbid on shalom and amukaf and chutz la'aretz, and you can, and the guy has ne'emanus to do that. That he's going to cut off a portion of each new dough that they need, and therefore they don't need to pay a Jew to be there through the night. I'm sure to make sure there are no non-kosher ingredients. They have other measures in place, you know, cameras and whatnot. But that's a kula they rely on, and that's why you'll notice in Brooklyn a lot of bakeries happen to have hashkacha from a Satmar hashkacha. It's not because they want to keep extra chumras, it's because they want to keep an extra kula that a lot of the other hashkachas don't have. But that manus of goyim was based, again, like from something Rabbi Cheskel Roth had suggested. Now, as far as pasakum is concerned, mistama, once the Jew is, when you have a Jew there, then you'd insist on, then the Jew would be able to keep an eye that he's turning on the fire for everything, and avoiding the problem that the shach is highlighting over here. I would imagine by Satmar they also have to be makbid about that, so they probably make sure that a Jew turns on the fire before he leaves at night. But when you have a frum Jew there, would obviously he'd be careful to make sure that the fire is running from when he turned it on. Rav Moshe Yerodei Chelek Aleph Sim Mem Hei addresses the issue that this chiddush seems to run against the entire idea of pasakum, right? The whole idea of pasakum is a chashash of chasus. How could it possibly be better with a non-Jewish store owner, right? He says, so tamua, how could it be that a non-Jewish store owner is going to be less of a chashash chasus than a Jewish store owner? So Rav Moshe says, al korachach, you have to say that since it's so hard to explain, sarach lomar, shemisvara sover kenatur, dikivan de be'etzem, gam pasu bechlal iser bishul. Really, pas is part of the iser bishul. Achshetir mivnei dochak. But they were matir because of the dochak, because it's chayin nefesh, it's so important. We can't live without bread, it would be too difficult. It's ein atzibri chol lamad, but whichever mahalich and rishonim you want to understand. Nimsa sheyesh inyan iser adayin, so there is some remnant of an iser. V'lachein bepas Yisrael shaleka dochak diyachol iskarpal imisraelim lo hitiru. Whoa, Rav Moshe says the dochak was only with non-Jewish bakers. There was no dochak to get rid of bishul akum when it comes to Jewish bakers, because Jewish bakers, what did it mean? It always meant that there was a Jew around. So what's the big deal? Just have a Jew put the food in the oven. Just have a Jew turn on the oven. So because the whole heter of paspalter, or whatever heterim we have related to pasakum, are based on the dochak, and that dochak only exists when there's a non-Jewish baker, when there's a non-Jewish bakery, so therefore we have these kulas by a non-Jewish baker. But they never had to back down on those kulas when it came to a Jewish bakery. And therefore, says Rav Moshe, the kicker, he says, Im kein mistaver, he says, just like we don't say that you should buy only from a Jewish baker because you can't always find one, with workers also, it's hard to get Jewish workers. And therefore, the chumrah of the shach is only in a small bakery where the Jew can do all the baking himself. So when you let a guy bake, that's going to be asur. But if you have a big bakery where it's not easy for a Jew to bake everything by himself, and he's going to need workers, and he can't find Jewish workers, then you can be mekel. Then you go back to the same dochak. You have the same chai nefesh and the same dochak that you always had. The whole svara says Rav Moshe, this is like classic Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe, like he says a chiddush and then paskins like it, right? Meaning his chiddush in explaining this unusual halacha is that there was no real dochak when it comes to a Jewish baker, because he might as well just do all the baking himself. But whenever you don't have such a svara to say, oh, he might as well do it himself, because he's running a commercial bakery, he's running a huge operation, and he can't do everything himself. So then, memeli, you come right back to the dochak, and you have all the heterim of paspalter. At the end of the day, Rav Moshe then says, ukisha apolim hem yisrael af shehem echal le shabbos befarhesya she yosu notak hasovrin de'in lahem din akum le'inyin zeh. So remember, we had that discussion about who counts as a Jew as far as Pas Yisrael is concerned, and he says I'm more noted to assume that a person who is Jewish, even if he's not observant, even if he's a Mechal Shabbos, is in fact not going to be a problem of pas akum, and therefore certainly you could be makel in bakeries if they have non-religious Jews. That for sure, because I think it's more correct la halacha than non-religious Jews anyway are not going to be a problem of chashash chasnas. But you know, you could put this on the list. This is one of those rare cases in halacha where it's better to be a guy, meaning not better to be a guy. I shouldn't say that, but where it's it's more. The kashrus concerns are alleviated if the person you're dealing with is not Jewish. I mean, what's the other classic case where the kashrus concerns are alleviated if the person's not Jewish? Very noga in Yana Dioma. Chametz over love of Pesach. Right? That's the can I buy here? Can I buy the? We have a local key food over here. The vad put out a thing. We can't ascertain with absolute certainty that the family is not Jewish. So I'm calling up all my, a friend of mine who works in supermarkets. Do you know the guy who owns the key food? Yeah, it's the Almonte family. They're a Dominican family. Amazing! that's a win. All right, we want them to be a non-Jew, so that now people can go buy there. I think they had such a maisa once where there was like a major buyer, a Jewish buyer, that wanted to buy bourbon from one of the major bourbon companies. I don't know, for some kosher liquor store or whatever that wanted to buy bourbon, and they met with the head of the company in Kentucky or whatever, and they asked, are you Jewish? And the people there wanted to impress them, so they said yes, very proudly, yes, we're Jewish. Forget it. Deals off, right? If you're Jewish, then all your bourbon is Chametz Shavuot Lava Pesach. Then they can't do it. So, no. What can you do? You also have like that sometimes in like Pesach hotels. I remember once we were on a Eschata Ayani Maskir Ayom. I've been to Pesach hotels. And we were in Florida. And my brother-in-law has an unbelievable sense of like who's Jewish and who's not. I'm not so good at this. My brother-in-law is like fantastic at this. And the waiter, who was serving us and kept on writing down our orders and all that stuff, my brother-in-law says to him, Gudyantiv. And the waiter like gives him a glance. My brother-in-law keeps pushing him, the whole yontif, like he kept on, the guy to me looked like, he looked Hispanic, he did not look Jewish at all to me, and long story short, by the end of yontif, he was chazering over the Gemara Makkos that he learned in sixth grade, together with my brother-in-law in the Beis Medrash, and the program knew they cannot hire that guy anymore. When they need a guy, they need a guy. How many custodians in shuls lost their jobs because they either became Jewish or were Jewish? So there are certain cases where you dafka need a non-Jew. So this goes on the list. This is one of the lesser known ones, this shach, this unbelievable shach. Now, when it comes to gluten-free and celiac, where you can't have normal bread, so what do people do when they're gluten-free? Yeah, they can bring you a duck when you don't want a chicken, but they want an answer. Rav Shachter tells, by the way, I asked him when he was here whether, if there was a, or someone asked in the question and answer session, whether they're allowed to, the guy is allowed to write down your order, you know, on Shabbos V'yantiv. And the svar is, that he's doing it for himself, that he doesn't want to get the order wrong, so he wants to make sure that he brings everybody the right thing. So Rav Shachter said, absolutely not. He said, you're not allowed to do that. So that right away postulated every Pesach program. You know, like this, the waiters always write down what you order. But anyway, when it comes to gluten-free celiac, there's a tshuva in the Shraga HaMeir. Chelik Vavsim Kufnun Hey. This is courtesy of Rav Eliada Goldwicht. I did not find this one on my own. I would bet that he found it in the Oel Yaakov, but I didn't take a look. But in the Tshuva Shraga Meir, my Oel Yaakov on Machol Yaakov is in Yeshiva, so when I'm allowed back, I'll check. But the Tshuva Shraga Meir points out that according to the Mechaber and the Shach, who's really Machmir like the Mechaber for the most part, that you're only allowed to have paspalta b'shasat chak if you're gluten intolerant, celiac or something like that. That probably is also considered a shasat chak, meaning. And you could buy bread from a non-Jewish baker if that's what's available. Meaning if the gluten-free bread from the non-Jewish baker is what's available, and even though there's a delicious Jewish bakery in town, that lechara would be a shasat chak. According to the Ramah, you can always buy paspalter even if you don't have a strict diet, because the Ramah allows paspalter even when there are Jewish bakers around. What about getting gluten-free bread from a non-Jewish neighbor, paspal abayis, when there's no other option? So based on what we'll see in Siv Ches, it would seem that if there's no palter selling gluten-free bread, you might be allowed to eat even from paspal abayis. Clearly, if you're paying for it, there's no shaila. Then that's the definition of palter. Then it's not called paspal abayis. What if you make a special order at a non-Jewish bakery? Would that take away the commercial status of it? Because, the whole idea of a commercial bakery, she doesn't care who's buying it. It's just that it is being bought. It's that somebody's paying for it. But over here, it's much more personal. He's writing happy birthday, whatever, on the cake. So it's dafka being made. The Jew dafka asked for the Elmo cake because their two-year-old loves Elmo. And, otherwise no one else would be interested in the Elmo cake. He's dafka making it for you. So in Oel Yaakov, over here, he quotes a letter that he received from the Tshuvas Avnei Yashba that Harei B'kol Ma'afia Matzo Yadavar. He says, very common. You're making a simcha and you order challah rolls or whatever for the simcha. B'miuchad Avor Simcha Zos. But again, the Ramah makes it very clear what the gather is. You're paying him. If you're paying him, then that's palter. That's not paspal abayis. So that is as far as the gather of paspalter, but a little bit more. What about factory bread? Is the fact that bread is made in a factory, is that different than a bakery? Meaning, Stella Doro or something like that. Is that different than a local bake shop? So this is, you would think, misvara, it should be no different, because there's a gzera. The gzera was against Pas Akum, and whenever you could be makel for Pas Palter, so companies and bakeries are the same, and when you can't be makel for Pas Palter, then companies and bakeries are the same again, that you can't be makel. However, there is a Masaira that Rav Maisha said otherwise. When I say a Masaira, it's in the Masaira Journal, Chaveres Aleph. But also, not only that it's in the Masorah Journal, the Tshuvas Ruvos Ephraim, Rav Ephraim Greenblatt, Zichrono Levracha, from Memphis, Tennessee. Right, I'm sure you know about Rav Ephraim Greenblatt. He was a major posek. I believe for decades he was like a second or third grade Rebbe in Memphis, Tennessee, and that freed up a lot of time the rest of the day, because you don't have to write a new curriculum every year, so it freed up a lot of time to answer the world's shailas. If anyone in the Smicha program thinks teaching little kids is beneath you, remember what Rav Ephraim Greenblatt spent his life doing, and then look on your bookshelf and you could find a full shelf taken up just by the Tshuvos Rivvos Ephraim. He's also the nephew of the great Gaon Rav Nata Greenblatt, a great posek who, Shlita, Rav Nata Greenblatt, who's one of the biggest baki and probably the biggest baki in this country in Ebne Ezer. Rav Ephraim writes that, he quotes Rav Moshe, that the Ra'a writes in Bedek Abayis, Sha'ofa ofa b'bayis miyuchad l'kach ve'enu miskavin l'vasha l'atzmo ve'lo l'shum adam yuchad ele melachta l'fishu sachar l'afos l'vasha l'kala ba b'bayis miyuchad she'en b'ni adam ochlem bo ve'lo shosim bo v'rushas ram l'kala olam. But Ze'ef Shaladin L'Zchus says, if you're baking in a place where no one eats, it's not a restaurant, no one sits down, you're just churning out food that gets shipped off. He says, D'halo chashev bishulei nachrim. He says, that's not even bishul akum in such a case. T'lo shayich b'ha ikruve daita. And he says, u'kol shkein l'in pas sheikilabo. He says, Ramesha held that if there's a commercial food production, that is not even bishul akum. You could have the guy do everything. And kal v'chomer, when it comes to pas akum, so he says that's based on that ra'ah. So it's efshar b'kol beis charoshes ein bo mishum bishulin achrim shem vashem l'kol olam v'chein moshum b'shem hagram Feinstein zatzal sheshtamish svara kazu shal ra'ah v'ibetshuvik savyat shenichtva al piv me'eis harav Rav Nata Greenblatt echad mitalmidav hamufakim, that one of the great talmidim mufakim of Rav Moshe, Rav Nata Greenblatt, has a tshuva written that he wrote up based on what Rav Moshe had dictated to him. Rav Nata is known as one of the most reliable people about what Rav Moshe's shitas were. He is, and he was one of the early Talmidim of Rav Moshe. My brother happens to enjoy a very good relationship with Rav Nata Greenblatt, because Rav Nata taught my brother, he gave him Shimush in Gittin. My brother's Masader Gittin in California. So Rav Nata used to come out every couple of weeks to do Gittin, and my brother would do it with him. I don't think Rav Nata travels that much anymore. He's much older. But my brother is very close to Rav Nata, and he told me that once Rav Nata told him that he was learning in by Rav Moshe, he was learning in MTJ, and the Mashkiach came over to him in MTJ, and the Mashkiach said to him, time to go learn by Rav Aaron. You know, you're learning very well, so you got to go to Lakewood, because that's what you do. Rav Aaron Cutler is the Gadol Adar. So Rav Moshe wasn't yet that well known in America as a Gadol Adar. So Rav Nata said, I looked at the Mashkiach. It's amazing, like in the yeshiva, the Mashkiach was recruiting for, for the other yeshiva. So he said, I looked at the Mashkiach and I said, and who says that Rav Aaron is any greater than Rav Moshe is? And the Mashkiach looked at me like I just told him I was in a keva, which nowadays the Mashkiach is not allowed to look at you funny if you say that. But that was the expression that Rav Nata used, that he looked at me like I just told him that I'm in a keva. What do you mean? Who says Rav Aaron's any greater than Rav Moshe? But as it turns out, Rav Nata thinks he was the one that discovered Rav Moshe in America. That no one knew how great Rav Moshe was until Rav Nata discovered the greatness of Rav Moshe. But anyway, so Rav Nata says that this was in fact the Shita of Rav Moshe. And then in the editor's note in the River of Sephraim, he writes, Sha'alnu me'is b'no shal hagram Feinstein, hagon Rav Reuven Feinstein Shlita, Ari Brandspiegel's friend, va'amar shekein hu be'em. And he said that is in fact true that his father held that way. V'shev shalah hadfisa b'li chashash, and that you could publish this kula of Rav Moshe without any chashash, without any concerns. Wow. Factories are more makel than palter. In a factory, you'll never meet the person preparing the bread. The bread is baked in huge industrial dishes. There's no chashash of chasnos. You couldn't possibly track down, even if you wanted to, who made your bread or your meal. There's no way to find him. You know, even by looking at the number in the code, you know, you could track down what factory it was made in. But even there are a million factory workers in those hairnets and things. You know, like you're never going to track down the person who did. So according to Rav Moshe, both Ashkenazim and Sephardim can eat from bread from a non-Jewish factory because the Gezerah was never said with regards to factories. Now, of course, this is not nogea to us. It's nogea to a kashrus organization. meaning because now you can't eat bread without hashgacha. So otherwise, they're putting lard or milk or both into the bread, right? So you certainly can't eat bread without hashgacha. So this is not really nogea to us. It's nogea to a kashrus organization if they think that they can keep track of the ingredients, but they're not going to be able to turn on the ovens every day. So can they give hashgacha? Let's say a Sephardi kashrus organization, can they give hashgacha to such a thing? So Moshe would say yes, even if Sephardim can. However, Sephardim aren't that interested in what Rav Moshe has to say. What does Rav Avadia have to say? So Rav Avadia in Yabi Omer and Chelukei and Zimintes says that you can rely on this kula, but only if you have another tzad lahakel. So OU policy is like Rav Avadia, that they use Rav Moshe as a sniff lahakel, but only with another tziruf. The sniff commonly used is what it says here in Kufi Beis Siftes, that a Jew only needs to do a little bit, and it's possible that Mashkichim do that anyway. So it's a Safik Rabbanan Lekula. Another sniff is that industrial baking is done largely by machines. So most of the bread comes from a Koach Sheni, and you assume that since most of the bread comes from a Koach Sheni, because it's being done by machines, called the Parish Meruba Parish, you probably didn't get bread that came from that Koach Rishon, even if you're makel by matzah, that you consider it to be asil l'shma, when it's made by a machine, you still might be able to be makel over here, because matzah maybe doesn't require kocho. Matzah just requires l'shma. Over here, we require kocho. Now, factory bread, Ari, we just mentioned your good friend, Rav Reuven Feinstein. I don't know if you stepped out for a second. But factory bread isn't olal shulchan melachim, and there's a machlokes achronim whether such a heter exists by pas or only by bishul. So the Avnei Nezer is makel on that you have such a heter of ein olal shulchan melachim by pas as well. So that's another sniff. So very often it's hard to find a case where you don't have another sniff. I mean, Rav Avadia says I'm willing to rely on this svara that Rav Moshe says, but only in the instance that there's another sniff. There's almost always another sniff. You always have something else to connect it with. Rav Vazner is not thrilled with this kula of Rav Moshe. Rav Vazner in Shevet Alevi Chelek Vav in Simon Kuf Ches, Rav Vazner takes issue with it. He writes, "V'makilim bazeh som chenatzman al yisod amavur b'ktsas svarim she'ein maisa beis charosha she'olsem bo rivvos l'rabim b'chlal gzeres chasnus." He says that people rely on what they've seen in Ktsas Svarim. They're called Igros Moshe and Yabia Omer. You know, like those are pretty serious Svarim. So that which it says in Ktsas Svarim that a factory produced it, well, truth is, it's not an Igros Moshe. It's in Rivos Ephraim B'Shem, Rav Moshe Feinstein. He says, Umi pe kadosh hachazonish zatzal, shamati lahachmir b'zeh. That I heard from no less an authority than the Chazon Ish that you need to be machmir on this issue. Okay, so that's just in terms of the gedarim, of what is paspal bias, what is paspalter. But for the most part, Ashkenazim anyway, paskin like the Rama, not like the Shach, not like the Mechaber, and we're going to be makel on paspalter. We're going to be makel on paspalter almost all the time. The question is there any time that we're not makel on paspalter? I mean, is there any time that we have to be machmir? Because we very rarely have cases of actual paspal abayis. Most of us do not have relationships with non-Jews in the sense that they are baking us baked goods from their home. And if they did, again, it would be a kashrus concern anyway. But let's say you have Entenmann's cakes or something like that. So that's paspalter or pas beis charoshes, like Rav Moshe said. And the OU is willing to be makel that if it's they don't advertise it as pas Yisrael, meaning for Ashkenazim, the OU gives Ashkacha primarily for Ashkenazim, so for Ashkenazim it would be fine, and for Svardim they would need to use a tziruf of something else to be able to eat the Entenmann's cakes. But you have another sniff, you have the fact that there are mashgichim running around the factory anyway. But are there any cases where we're machmir, even on paspalter? So one case, the Shach and Sivkat and Tess points out that even though the Ramaz Mekel and allows you to buy paspalter even when there's a Jewish baker around, He says better to be machmir unless the non-Jew unless the bread is tastier by the non-Jew. So again, the shach, you always have the shach that's said against the Rama. But again, we don't pass like the shach. But then the shach also says that, and this is where it comes into play. This is most of the time, the only time we actually think about this is that on a saris yimei tshuva you should be machmir not to bypass palter. This is quoted in Aruch Chaim. In Aruch Chaim, Simtaf Reish Gimel, in the Halachas of Aseres Yimei Tshuva, so Shulchan Aruch brings this this practice that we don't need paspalta during Aseres Yimei Tshuva. Meaning, the idea being probably that the whole reason that we're mekel and paspalta is because Hasha'a D'chuka, and because it's so difficult and so challenging. Not so challenging for 10 days. For 10 days, you can you'll be fine. It's challenging to keep it up the whole year round, but that's not so challenging otherwise. So Mishra Brura in Tafresh Gimel Aleph, Mishra Brura writes, "Umikol makom, mi shaholich bederech, im ein lufan of paschal Yisrael ad yoser me'arba amilin mi makom shu omed bo, v'rotz lechol, motz lechol pas palter shalakum." Very important comment the Mishmura makes. He says, the Chumra during Aseres Yimei Tshuva is for Ashkenazim to be Sfardim. Right? That's the Chumra. The Chumra is that an Ashkenazi Jew should start worrying about Paspalter. But you don't have to be more than a Sfardi. You don't have to be more Machmer and Paspalter than those who are Machmer and Paspalter are. So if you happen to be in you're traveling during Aseres Yimei Tshuva, and the closest Pas Yisrael is 4 mil, it would require you waiting a period of 4 mil, and Pashtos, again, Mishmur doesn't say this, but Pashtos, it also means, or going out of your way by 1 mil, right? Because the 4 mil wasn't invented by the Mechaber over here. It comes from the halachos of davening and the Tilas Yadayim. So it's 4 mil in front of you and 1 mil of extra time of going out of your way. So if you're traveling, and this comes up all the time, that people are traveling during Aseres Yimei Tshuva, business travelers or whatever, and there's no pastoral available, so can they buy themselves an Entenmann's, donut, or can they buy themselves something that's not Pas Yisrael during Aseres Yimei Tshuva? And if the only way they're going to be able to find Pas Yisrael is more than 4 mil away, or more than 18 minutes out of their way, then it will be mutter. And not only that, like we saw yesterday, some poskim would say it doesn't even have to be 18 minutes out of your way, 3 minutes out of your way, because you have a car, as long as it's a mile out of your way, it would be mutter. So that's an important ha'ara that the Mishra Brura adds. A meal is 2,000 amos, which according to Grach Na'e is 4 mil would be a little under, somewhere between 2 and 3 miles, meaning a meal is less than a mile. Okay, now when you're being machmir about pasakum, what about something like cereal, Cheerios or something like that? So should you be machmir not to eat that during Aseres Yimei Tshuva? So the Ramah and the Taz said that with cookies of pasa baba kisnin, the gzera pasakum applies, because if you eat enough of it, then you're going to have to say birch samazim, you're going to have to bench. So it would seem that you should be machmir not to, you would think, at least on the surface, not to eat Cheerios during Aseres Yimei Tshuva. So Jed is asking, what about Entenmann's and other factory made goods during Aseres Yimei Tshuva? So it would turn out, based on everything we're saying, that if you hold the Ramesh's Kula, so then, yeah, you're totally allowed to during Aseres Yimei Tshuva, meaning there is no real Chumra. The only Chumra would be if you go to a local bake shop owned by a non-Jew, and where the food is baked by a non-Jew. That would be the only chumra that you'd have to keep during Aseres Yimei Tshuva. But anything that you could buy on a supermarket shelf, according to Ramosha, would not be a problem. I think the common practice is during Aseres Yimei Tshuva not to rely on Ramosha. I think common practice is during Aseres Yimei Tshuva to be machmir about Entenmann's and Drake's products and things like that. Rabbi Sobolovsky isn't concerned by Krispy Kreme or Dunkin' Donuts because they are fried. Yeah, that's another thing, right? So that's what we're getting into now. What qualifies as pas? Meaning when it comes to that, that's not a kula, by the way. Rabbi Sobolovsky has, that's really a chumra, because it's not a chumra, it's the halacha. He's just saying that it's bishul. right? Meaning that it's not called pas, that's called bishul. Now you may argue, well, it's not all al shulchan malachim, and therefore it's not a problem. But if you do consider it to be all al shulchan malachim, by the way, new Krispy Kreme in the Bergenfield area, is that true in the Teaneck area? I think that's Kach Shamati. That it's true. Okay. And I'm told it's even you can even eat there. That it's Rabbi Belzon is getting involved in Ashkacha, and we have people to rely on. Okay, so all right, Gershon David is going to sponsor Krispy Kreme for somebody's birthday. We'll have to some of our Teaneck fellows will have to bring in some Krispy Kreme.
For Rav Moshe's kula for the factories, does it make a difference if, like, let's say in Dunkin' Donuts, they bring muffins from the factories, but then they have them in the store that you're buying them from, and maybe I guess they're not heating them up there, but does that change anything?
It's a good question. This probably relates to a discussion we're going to have. What if, and the Shulchan Aruch talks about, what if someone bakes something and it's pas palter and then it becomes pas Yisrael? Then Yisrael, like the wholesaler and the retailer, who do you go by? Do you go by where you get it from, or do you go by who baked it? Can it change after it was made? Did we discuss that yet? I don't think we discussed it yet, so we'll get to it soon.
Another question.
Sure.
The special chumra during Aseres Mechuva comes from Shulchan Aruch, who says Nachum Li Zaher, and the Shulchan Aruch himself is clearly bumping it up a level because Sfardim in general are more machmir than Ashkenazim, so they go up, and that's seemingly the basis for it. And the Ramah doesn't say anything there, and he accepts. So I think the Chalukas Ben Yamin says that the chumra of the Aseres Mechuva, even for Ashkenazim, is more. So how does that stem with the whole mill?
No, it doesn't stem with the Mishnah Berurah. Mishnah Berurah is not that way, no? But that's a good point. Why would the Mechaber have to say something, Nachal Nizar, unless you say that, the Shulchan Aruch in Yardea says, Yesh Mekom L'Shemekilim B'davar V'lochem Pas Minachtam Ovid Chavim B'mokom Chein Shem Nachtam Yisrael M'nei Sheishas Adchak. So maybe what the Mechaber is saying is that even if it's normally a Shas Adchak for you, for 10 days it loses the status of Shas Adchak, because how could you call it a Shas Adchak if it's only 10 days? And therefore, those Mekomos should be Nizar. Meaning that's the whole addition that he's making.
The Chaylan and the Chalkas Ben Yamin would argue on that Mishnah Berurah, because he doesn't learn it like that. He says that the Shulchan Aruch is being Machmir one darga above the normal Sephardic
practice. Wow, where is that? You have that? You have the right here on Sifbeis, he says that?
Yoni would have it, but I don't know if he's here.
Yoni, are you there? Yoni's there.
Yoni's here, but a little busy in the background. I don't have the Mayim Makom, but I think it's on the Shulchan Aruch.
Okay. So,
also, I just wanted to, I don't know if Rebbe mentioned, but also the Mishnah Berurah says to be Machmir on Shabbos and Yom Tov also.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
Okay.
Now, before we get to that, though, just when it comes to like Cheerios or things like that, so as we said, pas abab kistanin does count as pas. So you would think Cheerios also. However, not every time you have something that's mitzonos is it pas abab kistanin and require birchas hamazon if you have it in very large quantities. Obviously, that's its own very significant sugya about what qualifies as pas abab kistanin and what's considered suras hapas. But with regard to cereals like Cheerios, that's a machlokas haposkim. Shlomo Zalman thought that they have tzuras hapas and you should not eat them during Aseres Yemei Tshuva. And there are those who are makel, even if you hold that Cheerios have tzuras hapas, because you rely on Rav Moshe, who says that it's a factory, so you'd always have that in your back pocket. Rav Scheinberg held that they do have tzuras hapas. And I'm sorry, that they do not have tzuras hapas, and therefore you're allowed to eat them during Aseres Yemei Tshuva. So, it's a machlokes haposkim. Many are machmir and Aseres Yemei Tshuva. I guess if you take the Chalukas Ben Yamin attitude of always going a little more machmir on things during Aseres Yemei Tshuva, even more than you normally would be, so it certainly makes sense to be machmir. Others will say, cereals are primarily eaten by young children, And for a young child, you don't have to impose all these chumras on kids during Aseres Yemei Teshuva. In Oel Yaakov, he says that he heard from Rebelski, or in the name of Rebelski, that you should be machmir by Cheerios. If you check out the OU website, it says that Rebelski and Rav Shechter both permit it. Cheerios, shredded wheat, and things like that during Aseres Yemei Teshuva, because there is no Tzuras HaPas. I don't know where there was a lack of communication or understanding in what the Oel Yaakov writes versus what it says in the OU website from Rebelski Shita, but just be aware that that's a machlokas aposkim. Another time to be machmir, not to purchase paspalter, not to eat paspalter, is Shabbos. The Raman, Aruch Chaim, some Reish Mem Beis, said that there's a minag to make special challah for Shabbos, and the Mishnah Brura over there in Sivkat and Vav, the Mishnah Brura writes, Vayin Bachronim, Dafilu Anog in Lechel paspalter Shalene Yehudi Bechol. That's Nachon Lizaher. Quoting from Magen Avraham, that you should stay away from it on Shabbos. And he's not only talking about for Lechem Mishnah, it happens to be that's the context that he's saying, but he means even during the meal or even as a snack. This is very relevant for Shabbos parties. Children very often like to have Shabbos parties in the afternoon. So while it's true that desserts at lunch are almost always, some Pas Yisrael type of thing, because usually we have homemade desserts or at least special bakery desserts. But most often when children have Shabbos parties, you know, it's Oreos and it's things like that. So if you're munching off your kid's Shabbos party, I don't know that you have to be machmir about this for kids, but if you're munching off your kid's Shabbos party, then that would be an issue. If I recall, I'm trying to remember who it was, whether it was Rabbi Schnall or Rabbi Wiederblank's shir, but Rabbi David Bashefkin was writing for the Mishpacha magazine, he did a top five on top five Shabbos party snacks. And he had the Stel Doro cookies with the fudge in the middle as one of the top five Shabbos party snacks. And I don't remember whether it was Rabbi Schnall Shir or Rabbi Wiederblank Shir, but they wrote a letter to Mishpacha saying that with all due respect to Rabbi Bashefkin, he seems to have forgotten that you should not use this for a Shabbos party snack based on the Mishnah Brura that you should avoid Pasakum. They happened to have been learning Pasakum, and they sent it. So it's an actual published letter in the Mishpacha magazine. Rabbi Bashefkin was excited enough about it that he tweeted it. So if you can sift through his thousands of tweets, you might be able to find it where he was very, very excited about that. Endman's Donuts at Teen Minion Kiddush would be a problem then. Ephraim? Okay, why is Ephraim sponsor Endman's Donuts? Ephraim's writing it. Okay, you're sitting next to Jed. Okay, I thought Jed was like sending a message to Ephraim. Like he's the one that pounds the Endman's Donuts at the Teen Minion Kiddush. Hard to imagine a prime in that context. Lechora would be an issue if you have Edmund's donuts at a team in Kiddush. That, yeah, that kind of thing. Meaning, it's a chumrah, but it's a chumrah that you should keep. You know, not every chumrah is a chumrah that that we say is necessarily only reserved for Gedolei Torah. It's a chumrah that that we should keep. I'm just looking. The next thing I want to get into may take a little bit of time. Whether bread can change from Pas Akum to Pas Balabayis. So maybe let's hold off on that. Maybe let's save that for Sunday, Be'ezras Hashem. And then after we get through that issue of that discussion in Rishonim and the Shulchan Aruch and the Shach, then we'll move on, we'll go Sif Achra, Sif, we'll go on to Sif Dalet, Hei Vav, etc. Okay. Everyone should have a wonderful Shabbos. Thank you for joining us on Zoom. Be'ez Hashem, Sunday, I think we still have to be on Zoom, but hopefully Monday we'll be back in person. It'll be great to see everybody or as many everybodies as we can back in person. Okay? Everyone have a great Shabbos.
Good Shabbos. Thanks, Rabbi.